say amen with a country accent? Wow, that was really good. Good job, everybody. Good job, everybody. Okay, so who in here so we celebrated my like 1 year last week. Who was there for my first week ever? Who was there for my first week ever? A couple of you guys? Okay, and even second weekers, I can't remember exactly when I spoke this, but I am kind of going to reuse a message I've already done. Oh, no. Yeah, but at the same time, this is my reasoning. When I first came here, I had God had given me a vision for this youth group. He had given me a vision for each and every one of you guys, and I spoke that, and we've carried that so well, but I just felt like it was time for a reminder. There's a lot of you guys who are new, a lot of you guys even that serve with me that haven't heard this before. And so I just thought that it's just good for that year mark to just do a reminder of the vision that God has for this youth group. And especially as we go into this new era of Harvest Youth, it's going to be so exciting. And I just want us to be remembering like what it is that this is really founded on. And so I have a quick question for you for the beginning of this. How many of you guys are like hide and seek experts? Like you play hide and seek and you are just crushing it. You are just beating everybody. Everyone who's small in the room, you guys already win. Like you already have an advantage. I get it. Because when I was younger, when I was smaller, I was pretty much a hide and seek expert. I could hide under couch cushions and you couldn't even tell I was there. You know, like I remember telling this story once before, but one time I loved scaring my older brother, and I would hide underneath his pillows on his bed. And he wouldn't even know I was there. And one night I stayed under his pillows for like half an hour. And he didn't know I was there, like while he was doing his nighttime routine, whatever, getting ready for bed. And he turned off the lights, got in bed, laid his head down, and my head was underneath his head under his pillow. And I was like, hey, Chase. And he like screamed the loudest you've ever heard someone scream. And he was like, get out. And after that, he checked under his pillows every night. It was really funny. I'd hide under his bed after that for a while, grab his ankles, just changing things up. Yes, Nyshawn, do you have a question? So when I was in like sixth grade, I was probably like 4'11". So when I left seventh grade, I was 5'8". When I left seventh grade, I was 5'8". And when I got into sixth grade, I was 4'11". Fun facts about me. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Anyways, scratch that. Throw it to the side, everybody. I was going to tell you guys a story. So some of you guys know my younger brother. I tell stories about him all the time, Ryder, because he's a character. This is sort of about him, but this is also about our neighbor growing up. And so we always played hide and seek. We always did a bunch of crazy stuff in the neighborhood. Kick the can, if you guys ever played that. But we would play hide and seek. We would do all this stuff. And one day, when we weren't even playing hide and seek, it was daytime, our neighbor comes knocking on the door. His name was Adley. Adley. You've never heard anyone named Adley. I haven't heard of anyone since. He came and he knocked on our door and was like, Ryder, can you go play outside? Because he was however old he was, like 9 or 10 years old. And he's like, yeah, sure, man, let's go. And so they go outside and Adley's like, Ryder, I have a really good idea. You know how we play kick the can, we have to hide. Like, I have the perfect hiding spot. And he was like, really? Like, what is it? And he's like, under your front porch. And my brother's like, you can't get under the front porch. There's like, you know, those like lattice trellis type of like wood slots, you know. And he's like, there's wood under there. And he's like, yeah, well, I brought my knife. Let's cut a hole in your porch. And Ryder's like 9. So he's like, that sounds like a great idea. And so my dad, Pastor Matt, who's up here, he was coming out of the front door, and Ryder's standing at the end of the porch, and he's like, hey, Ryder, what you doing? And he's like, oh, nothing, we're just hanging out. And he's like, who's we? And then he like kind of walked over, and he just sees Adley underneath the porch with his head sticking out of a hole that they've cut into the side of our porch. And there's a piece of our porch laying on the side. And he's like, get out of there. Ew, they were in so much trouble. And they did put it back together. It's not there anymore. I kind of wish it was. You know, like, how cool. Secret passageway. I don't know. Naomi, yes. It's still that house, but there is no hole there. So anyways, hide and seek. They had a great space. Obviously, it's no more. Everyone say RIP. To Sky's porch. Live long and prosper to the porch. Anyways. The reason I say that is because if you guys have ever followed us, how many of you guys actually do follow us on Instagram? And does anyone know, for a high five from me, the top thing that's in our bio? Oh, Janelle gets a high five from me. Give it up for Janelle. Wow, no one gave it up for Janelle. You guys are bitter. On the Harvest Youth Instagram, it says a generation seeking God. And it might be something that you put to the side and you're like, okay, cool, whatever. It comes from something. And it comes from this message that I'm about to preach to you guys. Everyone open up your Bibles to Psalm 24. If you got your Bible app, go ahead. If you got your physical Bible, go ahead. Psalm 24. Who wants to just like come up and do a little dance to entertain everybody until, you want to come up? Yeah. Well, then you got to find your Bible, your scripture. I don't know. Nyshawn, you got it? Nobody wants to come up and dance? Psalm 24, verse 1. So no need to scroll. Naomi, you have a dance? You want to dance in front of everybody? Go ahead, Naomi. Get up here. Everybody, hype her up. Hype her up. Go, Naomi. Get it. Look. He's got you. He gave you a beat. Get it. Get it. What? Yeah, go ahead. Get sturdy, guys. Oh, three of you? Get it. Go ahead, Brennan. That's the sped up version. Good job, guys. Everybody give them a hand. They got sturdy. All right, is everybody at Psalm 24, verse 1 now? I've given you plenty of time. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read this, you guys. So follow along with me. We're only going to read 6 verses, so keep with me. And I'm reading out of probably NLT, but who knows. Okay, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob." So I want to ask you guys a question, and I'm going to answer it immediately after I ask it. How do we become a generation known for seeking God? And I'm going to answer it, but it's also in the scripture. Having clean hands and a pure heart. Having clean what?
Hands.
Having a pure what?
Heart.
What kind of hands?
Clean.
What kind of hearts?
Pure.
Good job, guys. How many of you guys have ever made a mess before? Everybody put up your hands right now. I know you guys go home right now to your rooms, probably a disaster. You got clothes. You got dirty underwear laying on the ground, socks, gross. All you guys are messy, but I have to say the same for myself because my room's a mess right now. I remember there was one time that I was with both of my brothers and Morgan, who is absent because she gets married this weekend, which is crazy. But, what? No, she doesn't get buried this weekend. She gets married, weirdos. Guys are so strange. So anyways, back to this. So here I am. Both of my brothers are there, and Morgan's, we're all at my house. We were all hanging out one Friday night while my parents were out. And I can't remember how old I was, maybe like 12, maybe 11. But here we all are, we're all just hanging out, and sometimes we would just have dance parties. We'd turn on a song, just like Will did, Naomi got up here, the boys got up here and just got sturdy, and so we would just like dance in the kitchen and get super crazy, and we'd turn on songs, and we would just like rock out, whatever. My older brother was like known for dancing. He'd be dancing in his room like by himself and be having like dance parties, and we'd hear him upstairs, like the floor, like kind of stomping, and we'd go up to him and like embarrass him, and he'd be like, "Get out of my room." But when we would all dance together, it was fine. So we were in the kitchen, we were dancing, we were just getting it, having a good time. Well, what we'd like forgot to do was clear off the table from dinner that we had had. And for some reason, we had an open bottle of barbecue sauce on the table. And my older brother must have just been flailing like a madman. And I still don't know to this day how it happened. But my parents were probably going to get home in like half an hour. And here this man's probably just doing windmills. And he smacks the bottle of barbecue sauce. And it goes flying. And there's barbecue sauce, just a trail of it on the ceiling. On the ceiling. And we all stop, like the music's still going, but we're all silent. And we start kind of laughing because we're like, there's barbecue sauce on the ceiling. And we're like, how are we going to get this off? Because it's like that popcorn ceiling, you know? Like it's not even like a normal ceiling. And so we're like, shoot, what are we supposed to do? And so all of us just like spring into action, you know, grab the barbecue sauce, Ryder. Someone grab a sponge. Someone grab the water. I don't know. And so we're all just like scrubbing the ceiling like we can, whatever. There's just a big old brown stain. Like someone pooped on the ceiling and then just spread it around or something. I don't know what happened. But it was so gross and we couldn't hide it. We couldn't even hide it. So my parents came in, and we're all just kind of standing there like, hey. And then we're like, they all just like start looking up at the ceiling, you know? And they're like, what is that? Like, barbecue sauce? How did it get up there? Well, let's explain the situation. They did think it was funny. My dad got popcorn ceiling spray, whatever. It was gone, like, the next day. But we tried our best to clean it up, and it did not. It didn't work. Like, it was a big old failure. But it was funny. It was funny. That's a mess that we made, and it was hilarious. What did I say that our hands need to be? Clean. Clean hands. Clean hands, like that's a specific thing, to be washed. Some people do the 30 seconds with the happy birthday. Some people just get a little bit of water on their fingers and they leave to like shake someone's hand and go, yeah, I washed them, you know, like, but they didn't actually wash their hands. Yeah, some of you guys are like, ew, that was me earlier today. Not me, but I'm saying it was you. It was you, it was you. Wait a minute now. I want to say this, so I want you guys to hear me. I want you guys to hear me. I want you guys to get this deep into your souls. First and most importantly, in our lives, in our walks with Jesus, and some of you guys might not even be on that walk yet, but in our lives, what is important before anything else is that we need to accept Jesus and allow him to clean us from the inside out. We need to accept Jesus and allow him to clean us from the inside out. What do you mean by that, Sky? Is he taking a Mr. Clean magic eraser and just going into my, what, like, I don't get that. I don't know. I don't know how that works. What I mean by that is that when we accept Jesus, when we say, God, Lord, I want you, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Please come into my heart, cleanse me of my sins, and make me new. When we accept Jesus, our sins are wiped clean. Everything we've ever done, the things that we feel shame for, the things that we wish we could take back but we can't anymore, the thoughts we've had that we wish we could just get rid of, those things are wiped clean and thrown as far as the eye can see. Jesus himself cleanses us. And just like the barbecue sauce on the ceiling that we couldn't clean by ourselves, we had no capability, because as much as we tried to cover it up, it just turned into a bigger smudge, right? And when we try to clean ourselves up, when we try to get ourselves together, what ends up happening? We just end up smudged. We end up stained, and we can't get rid of it ourselves. It's still there as much as we want it to go away. We cannot cleanse our own consciences, and if we could, we would have already done it, right? So if you guys have done something, if that there's something in your past, if there's thoughts that you've had, if there's anything that you'd like to get rid of and it still just keeps creeping in, it keeps creeping in. Why? Because we can't get rid of it ourselves. Only Jesus can. And the thing is, The scriptures say, for the wages of sin is death. Really, the things that we do and how we live our lives, if we didn't have Jesus, we have no hope. But the thing is, Jesus died on a cross for our sins. Jesus sacrificed himself so that he could take our place in this world, cleanse us from our sins with his sacrifice so that we could be made new because of what he did on the cross. Jesus himself cleanses us, and there is nothing that we can do ourselves. So that's what I mean by clean hands. That's what I mean by clean hands. When we accept Jesus, we are made clean, that there is nothing that anyone can hold against us, nothing that the devil can remind us of that hasn't already been taken care of by the cross. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we then are risen with him when we accept him and we lay our old lives to the side. Now that's only one part, right? I said to be known as a generation seeking God, we need two things. Clean hands. We need to accept Jesus with our whole hearts. We need to ask him to be Lord of our lives and enter our lives. But the second part is what? Pure hearts. Though we're made clean when we accept Jesus, we still need to live as those who have been made new by Jesus. I'm going to say that again just in case you didn't hear me. Though we are made clean, though we accept Jesus and he rights our wrongs, covers everything we've done, and makes us new, we need to live like we're made new. And that's sometimes what we miss. We need to allow God to purify our hearts. How many of you guys have ever heard of the refiner's fire? Refiner's fire. That's a really fancy word for what they do to like metals. So imagine this earring that I have is real. It's not. I mean, it's a real earring, but it's not real gold. Whatever. Here it is. Here's this earring. Imagine it's real gold. How does it become gold? How does it become pure gold, shiny? Someone looks at it with a magnifying glass and goes, yep, that's gold. How does that happen? I got them from Dillard's. They're clip-ons. Anyways, when it comes to metals, like, you know, the miners, Snow White, they like get the gold, a bunch of dwarves go into mines, and that's not really what happens, but you know, some people go into the mines, they mine gold, and here you get this like little nugget. And it has to go into a refining process. That's called the refiner's fire. And I'm going to read it because it comes out of Malachi. I'm not going to read Malachi, but I'm going to read an explanation from it. So guys, listen to me. Everybody kind of like scoot yourselves up on your seats. Do whatever you need to. Shake your head. I don't know what you need to do to wake up. But here you go. I'm going to read this. It's quick. It says, a refiner's fire melts down a metal for purification purposes. A refiner's fire does not destroy the metal. Rather, it allows the junk within to come up so that it can be removed. A refiner's fire does not consume, it makes the metal better and more valuable. God will purify us in similar ways. He does not consume us. Rather, being in relationship with God draws us to righteousness and away from sinfulness. God uses our suffering, our sinfulness, our shortcomings to refine us just as a refiner's fire, so that the junk within our hearts will rise to the surface and can be removed. So what it is to walk with God, what it is to have a relationship with the Lord, what it is to allow God to purify our hearts is to allow all of the stuff, guys, say all of the stuff, all that stuff that you wish you could just throw off, it allows that to come to the surface, be removed, and then you're then living in that life that you've been made new by Jesus, you've been made refined by Jesus. And this is an internal and external process. Guys, I've said this before and I'll say it again. What is in you will come out of you. What is in you will come out of you. I'll say this first. When I was in sixth grade, how many of you guys are sixth graders in the room? Hey-o, we love the sixth graders on the front row. Yeah. If you're 11 to 12, really. Well, good job. Proud of you. So here's this. When I was in sixth grade, I was I went to church. I followed the Lord. I went to youth group. My parents were the pastors of the church. I would have said I was a Christian. I would have said that I know God and that I love Jesus. Well, I remember this one time towards the end of the year, I was in this weird place because I had faced a bully situation, really, and I had kind of been ousted from all my friends. I was put in this place where one girl literally just one day stopped talking to me, and then she would whisper through another person and tell them to tell me I was annoying, and that they didn't want me to sit with them anymore. So at that point, by the end of sixth grade, I was in a really low and dark place. I didn't want to go to that school anymore. I didn't want to be around those girls anymore. But I also really wanted friends. And I was in a place that I was like so desperate for friendship, and I was so desperate for people to laugh with me, to like me, because at that point I was very much alone. That at one point, by the end of the year, I remembered these girls, we were writing in yearbooks. It was just like we were signing the end of the year yearbooks, and one of these girls made some type of joke to this guy. Well, this guy, he was a little bit strange, but at the same time he was really nice, so like him and I were friends, but often he would also get picked on. He would get bullied, and so it was just this rough situation, and I was put in this place where these girls were telling me, hey, Sky, write this thing in his yearbook. Write this funny thing in his yearbook. Say this about him. And it was making fun of him. It was not kind. But I was in a place where I was, like, so desperate to be liked. I was so desperate to be accepted that I was like, oh, well, yeah, okay, sure. And I went ahead and I wrote it. And we gave it to him. And in a way, like, I was hoping maybe he'll just, like, laugh. You know, maybe he'll think it's funny. And maybe I'll be able to kind of get rid of this. Well, there he was. He read it, and he didn't laugh. And I was left with this place. I was left with this feeling that I couldn't shake, but at that point, I couldn't pinpoint what it was that I was feeling. Because at that point, I was in such a low place that I wasn't close to God like I should have been. I wasn't relying on God like I should have been. I wasn't reading my word like I should have been. And so at that point, what was inside of me, which was hurt, which was the pain I was feeling and carrying from being bullied myself, and I was so almost vengeful in my heart that what was in me came out of me in that moment, right? What was in me was pain and it was hurt. So what happened, because I hadn't allowed God to come into my heart and allowed him to purify my heart, is that I then ended up hurting somebody with how I acted. So when I say what is in you will come out of you, is either all of the hurt, all of the shame, all of the confusion, maybe you feel a little anxious sometimes, maybe you feel a little sad, whatever's in you, if you don't allow Jesus to come into your heart, take that away, purify it, bring it to the surface, and get rid of it, if you keep it inside you, then that's what's going to come out. It's not going to be Jesus. It's not going to be kindness. It's not going to be love and truth and light. It's going to be darkness, and it's going to be hurt. What is in you will come out of you. Matthew 12:33 says, make a tree and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. It says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I'm going to say that again. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. It's one thing to be forgiven, you guys, because, God's forgiveness, unending. I just want to say that to you guys, and like that's, oh man, it's the most joyful thing ever. God's forgiveness is unending. Yeah, it covers everything. There is no place that God's forgiveness can't reach. But it's another thing to allow God's Spirit to transform you. It's another thing to allow God's Spirit to change everything about who you are. And some of us have missed this. When you are made clean by God, when you allow him to clean you and wash you of your sins, That is wonderful, and we will celebrate you all day long. You guys know in this place when someone accepts Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, we are clapping, we are hollering, we are just so excited for you. But when your hearts are made pure and it reflects in the way that you live, that is just beautiful. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It shows that God is inside you and that the Spirit has truly transformed you. And the praise report that I want to give you guys is that eventually when I caught on, when I caught that connection with the Lord that I was so seeking and I didn't even know I needed it, you know, by the end of school, by the end of high school, and yeah, it took me that long, I ended up messaging that guy from sixth grade. And I ended up finding him just through Facebook, through Instagram, I can't remember. But I messaged him and I was like, hey, you might not remember this, but this is something that I've carried with me for a really long time. And I said, I went along with how those girls were acting, but I'm not going to blame it on them. I just wanted to apologize for what I wrote in your yearbook in sixth grade. Guys, it's been like 7 years. But at this point, God's Spirit has totally transformed me to a place where I can't hold that back any longer. What is coming out of me is that spirit of repentance, because God's Spirit is in me. And so I reach out to him, I apologize, and he messages back, and he's like, hey, I just really appreciate this. Thank you so much. Like, it's totally all right, but I really appreciate you reaching out to me and apologizing. And no, it doesn't necessarily write that, but I just want to show you guys that there's a difference. There is totally a difference between just accepting Jesus, saying you're a Christian, and then living for God, having your heart purified by God's Spirit. There is a difference. To have clean hands, those are hands that have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Those are hands that you've accepted Christ, and everything that he's done, his sacrifice, covers you and has wiped you clean. Pure hearts are the other thing, and those are hearts that have been transformed. It's when you become a person of integrity. Say integrity. And you become a person of conviction. Say conviction. Hearts that have been transformed. Those are hearts that are totally, totally, totally on fire and devoted to Jesus. Clean hands and pure hearts. And those are the people that you can look at and say, those are the people that are seeking God's face. That's what it takes to become a generation that is known for seeking God. And I don't know if you want that. Like, I'm not gonna push that on you guys. I'm not gonna make it so that you guys think that that's what I have to do now. I would definitely recommend it. I would push you guys towards seeking God. I would do everything in my power to get you guys to a place where you guys are in close relationship with the Lord, but it's up to you. Right? Every one of you guys are able to make your own decisions. And maybe you don't feel that way because your parents tell you what to do and you're like, Mom, I don't want to do that. Dad, I don't want to do that. Maybe you're just that guy and you just, you know, whatever it is. Guys, this is up to you. Say, it's up to me. It is up to you. But I'm going to tell you guys why you guys would want this. I'm going to clue you in on a couple things. I know personally why I would want each of you guys to be known as someone who seeks the face of God. And the first is what the Holy Spirit brings to your life that you haven't had before this then. Freedom, peace, authority from the power of the Holy Spirit that you haven't had before. If you guys have ever felt anxious, if you guys have ever felt kind of lost, or maybe that you didn't have the courage, or maybe that you were unkind, maybe you lacked in so many ways, and you're like, how can I shake this off? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit and what he brings to you. And that is what you get when you seek the face of God. The other thing, if you guys are known as a generation for seeking God, if you guys are known as people who God is first in your life, you can lead others to that same freedom. Like if you guys just like have that weight lifted off of you, when you guys are known as those who seek the face of God, you are then able to lead others to that same freedom. But like I said, nobody can do it for you. If you want to have a relationship with God, do it, and He will bless you. He will bless you. If you don't, that's your decision. I won't say that the Lord's going to bless you through that. And you're probably going to face a lot, and you're going to be in a place where maybe you don't have hope or peace or authority or power that the Holy Spirit brings. But that comes when you accept a relationship with God. And guys, these are the most formative years of your life. And maybe that sounds really fancy, and maybe you are like, Sky, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I want to go to sleep. I don't know what you got going on. But you guys, what's the youngest? How young are you guys? Who's the youngest in the room? How old are you? He's 11. He's 11, everybody. Who's the oldest? Who's the oldest in of the youths? Of the youth. It's not Nyshawn. Probably Michael? Oh, Susanna. Susanna. So you've got about 7 more years. And you guys are on the cusp. When you guys turn 18, and maybe that's like a dream for you. Who just like loves or like wants to be 18 like tomorrow? You want to be able to leave home, you know, freedom. No one's like, everyone's like, no, I don't want it. Why? Because when you're 18, you have responsibilities, right? Ah! We hate responsibilities. Guys, when you're 18 years old, you have the choice then of what to do next. That's kind of crazy. Today, tomorrow, your mom's going to wake you up, your dad's going to wake you up, whoever's going to wake your alarm on your phone's going to wake you up, and you're going to go to school, and then you're going to go to maybe practice for something, or you're going to go home. You're going to do your homework. Maybe watch a little TV. Maybe you go to Taekwondo like Noah. Who knows what you do? Who knows what you do? But you have everything kind of lined up for you, right? Like, you know what your schedule's going to be tomorrow. Maybe you know what your schedule's going to be next week. You just know that. When you're 18, you don't have that luxury. You get to make your decisions. You decide you want to go to college. You decide if you want to go to work. You decide if you want to go to this program out so-and-so. Decide you want to travel abroad. Decide you want to be a missionary full-time. Whatever it is, 18, that's when you get that choice. But you also get another choice. You get to choose whether you go to church on Sunday. You get to choose whether you're involved with a young adults group because you're not in youth group anymore. You get to decide at that point whether or not God is going to be a priority in your life or He's not. You get to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus with my whole heart, or you won't. And that's up to you. So why not make that decision now? Why not decide, God, I want you to be Lord of my life now, so that when I'm 18, that decision's already done. I want to follow you. I want to be in your house. I want to be in your presence. I want to worship you. I want to lead my family to know you. I want to lead my friends to know you. That's what happens when you make that decision now versus when you're 18 and you're like, you know, I'm tired. It's Sunday morning, but I just don't want to go to church today. Then you start kind of fading away. You start maybe not reading your Bible as much. Maybe you just don't even bring your Bible to college with you. That's when those years happen. It hits 18 and you're able to make those decisions. The time is now to decide, Jesus, I'm going to make you Lord of my life. I want you to clean my hands and I want you to purify my heart. I want to make me new, and I want my life to have evidence that you're in it. I want to have good fruit in my life. Galen, if you can go grab your guitar, that would be awesome. You can play. What did they say is coming up next Sunday? Awakening. And at Awakening, we are going to do baptisms. And I know most of you, and I've baptized a lot of you, which is awesome. I almost dropped Larger Cooper in the baptismal pool last Sunday. Guys, I've been in the gym. I've been trying my best to get ready for the upcoming baptisms. But what I want to offer to you guys is that if you've accepted Jesus before, or if you want to accept Him tonight, that you would follow in obedience and get baptized next Sunday at Awakening. If that's something that you've never done before, or you did when you were really little and you didn't really have a choice, but now's the time that you might want to get baptized and you want to publicly proclaim your faith, this is the time to do it. If you guys don't know what baptisms are, I'm going to explain them real fast, and then we're just going to have a time to just kind of reflect and worship God. But a baptism is a public declaration of your faith, and it's a really symbolism of going under the water old, washing off all of the old life that you carried, all of the shame, all of the guilt, everything that you feel like you want to wash away. And when you come up out of that water, you are a new creation. And if you guys have never done that before, in God's word, it is actually a thing that he asks us to do. Like, this is a mark of obedience to go and get baptized and to publicly proclaim your faith, because if you're not willing to do it publicly, how are you going to do it privately and one-on-one with your friends? How are you going to ever go out and preach the gospel like he commands us to do in his word, because that's what he does? Newsflash. And so this is where you start. This is where you start. New life. It's your new life. You're leaving behind your old life. You're leaving your old self behind. You're washed clean. Public declaration of your faith, and it is an act of obedience. And so if you guys have not been baptized before, please come talk to me after this. I would love to be the one to baptize you. If you want one of your small group leaders also in that tub, we can get them in there. They can baptize you too. Like, we can make it happen. So I'm just excited for you guys. I know that there's some people in this room that, I know that there's some people in this room that want this. Or maybe you didn't know that you want it, and now you do. Who in this room have I baptized? Yeah. We got our older crew right there. Guys, it's time. Sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders, it's time. If you guys are following the Lord and you guys have never taken this step, now is the time to do so. You don't have to wait till you're 15 or 16. 17. You can do it now, but let it be your decision, not mine. So why don't you guys bow your heads, close your eyes. You guys can stand too, actually, where you are, while you have your, you can open your eyes while you stand. But close your eyes. And I just want to ask if there's anyone in the room tonight who, you just feel it on your heart, and you're in a place where you've kind of been awoken to maybe the fact that you've asked God to clean you once before, but tonight you're really wanting to ask him, God, clean my hands, but also purify my heart. God, I've asked you to forgive my sins, but tonight I really want to make you Lord of my life, and I want to live for you. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I want my life to reflect that. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you just want your life to be a reflection of Christ and it hasn't been yet at this point, yeah. Guys, I see all your hands. You're not alone in this. So why don't we all together, just as a family, just go ahead and we'll just pray. We'll pray to accept Jesus, and we'll just pray over our friends that have accepted Jesus and they want to live their lives for him. So everybody, if you would close your eyes and just say, Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you can clean us, but we ask you to purify us. Purify our hearts, Lord, and let us be a reflection of you. God, I ask you to be Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive my sins, and I ask you to make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. And let's just pray just over the group in general. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are just in this place tonight. Lord, I thank you for just your spirit. Lord, I thank you that even an old message can be made new, God, and you can awaken hearts. You can purify hearts, Lord, even today. That your word is always moving because it's alive, Lord, because you're alive. You died on that cross, but you rose again, Lord. And so you're still speaking. You're still moving. Your spirit is still active today, God. So I pray that you would just bless each and every person in this room. God, I thank you so much just for who you are. And Lord, I just ask that you would just cover each and every student as they leave, as they go into this week, Lord, and they go about their normal lives, but I pray that you would just remember them of these words that they've heard tonight, and you let their lives just become a reflection of you, whether that's through conviction or whether that's through encouragement. God, I just pray that your spirit would in this moment convict hearts. And what I want us to do just to end this night is just to sing that last song just one more time. And guys, I just want to encourage you, even in this moment, that you can spread out, you can kneel, you can pray, but what I would ask you to do is just get rid of any distraction that's around you. If you're distracted by your friend, go stand far away and just spend this moment with God and just worship him, because he loves you and he wants to spend this time with you. He wants to speak to you. So if you need to, just take your space and let's just worship him and just spend this time with him.
Seen your face, singing holy, 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 holy. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you.